The Farming Programme with Araquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham, supplying the region for over 40 years.
The Week in Agriculture. This is The Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
Sticky fields, high humidity, the first frosts and slugs. It's proving to be a tricky autumn.
A little bit tense out here, really, and the complication we've got now is that these fields sit sticky and wet. They're not drying out with the humidity levels that we've got in the 90s.
Planning for next year's cereals continues apace. We'll visit Ledenham for the latest. Anna was at the 150th Lincolnshire Association of Agricultural Valuers Conference last week. We'll hear from their advisor, Jeremy Moody.
Some of this is central policy. Some of it is stuff to be managed. We aren't all just passive victims of fate.
Plus the markets, the weather and the state of the crops, and Shadow Farming Minister and Yellowbelly Robbie Moore joins us, talking about holding the government to account now he's in opposition, looking ahead to the budget and thinking about what we can do to promote farming and the rural economy.
The Week in Agriculture. This is The Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
Good morning. This is the Farming Programme podcast for Sunday, October 20th, 2024. Hope you had a good week. I'm Steve Orchard, and pure speculation, of course, but it might be worth checking the fuel tanks and ordering ahead of the budget. So last week saw the 150th conference and celebration of the work of the Lincolnshire Association of Agricultural Valuers at the showground. The key speaker was advisor Jeremy Moody, and I caught up with him afterwards. A very, very wide-ranging and detailed presentation, squeezing an awful lot of detail into a short space of time. Two of the main threads seem to be land and productivity and climate change. They're two of the biggest challenges, aren't they, facing farming at the moment?
Very much so, and land, of course, is the basic resource to which farming then applies skills and capital. And so we're looking at competition for land use. We're looking, though, at doing it within this period. And it's easy to talk about climate change. What we're really meaning is doing it within increasingly extreme and chaotic weathers. And so somebody who's working the land, growing crops or keeping animals at a point at which we're facing more difficult weather conditions, a much more unstable world, and yet the farm is there to work, to use, and to use it as efficiently and effectively as possible, so it's managed well, it's a profitable business, and alongside that comes good environmental management.
And one of the things you said during your presentation was trying to get more for less.
Yes, but I think that's where we are. We're going to build a great many more houses. We've got all the infrastructure coming through, and some of that will be roads and other uses of land. We have got, obviously, people wanting to see land used for nature, and so on. And all this is making call on one island's worth of land. And what's used somewhere else then isn't used for farming. If we are to supply the food, then we have to be very much more effective at how we produce what the public wants to buy.
And on climate change, Lincolnshire's particularly exposed, aren't we?
The low-lying parts of Lincolnshire are particularly exposed. The big UK threat is flooding. Yes, we'll face drought. Yes, we will have some hot summers. Yes, we have Storm Arwen and other storms coming that do their damage. But the persistent, continuing threat, now in the summer as much as in the winter, is flooding. And, of course, Lincolnshire, much of Lincolnshire, is low-lying. The coasts are exposed. The fens, of course, much of that's below sea level anyway. And I'm looking at fens at Axholme as much as down by the Wash. And these lands are therefore very vulnerable to that. But, of course, they still offer very fertile land. And it's learning how to manage this so that we can deliver effective flood defences, effective flood management, good cropping, good farm businesses, but with that backcloth of rising risk of annual flooding, threatening many homes, but very much a challenge in Lincolnshire with its low-lying land.
You also talked about insurance, and this is an area we've probably not touched on an awful lot. We've talked about environment, we've talked about productivity. What's the issue with insurance?
Well, we, particularly in the developed West, have relied on insurance companies pooling risk, taking premiums, paying out when there's a problem. And we saw this after the great city fires of the 17th century. You saw the development both of insurance but also fire services. So risk management comes into this as well. But the insurance companies are wrestling with new risks they don't fully understand, risks that are changing and getting more challenging. That means premiums rise. It also means they will step back. If a place is just flooded too often, why accept the risk? It's not a risk, it's a probability. And that becomes the point at which this then confronts challenges for farmsteads, as it will in time for many people with houses or businesses. We can look at people behind sea defences around the Wash, at the point when the Environment Agency steps back. So we reach a point where if insurance is too difficult, and in Louisiana and America, insurance is reaching 5% of household income as a cost because it's so risky. You're watching storm insurance disappear from Florida, fire insurance from California. And at the point at which insurance isn't possible, who is going to be the mortgage company who lends you money? Where are you on the risk? Values change in response to all of this, just as values can be protected by flood defences. And so it's this business of risk and risk management are critical. Insurance companies are the financial engine at the heart of that.
But can farmers actually do anything about this, or is this really just a central policy issue?
Some of this is central policy. Some of it is stuff to be managed. We aren't all just passive victims of fate. We can look after this. I gave an instance. You're building a grain store. Are your gutters big enough? Are the downpipes big enough to take the water away? Are you going to do anything with that water or the rainwater there? Are you going to build the tracks up so that they are clear of flooding so that you can move animals, whatever the conditions? Do you actually want to keep a wet paddock available for grazing? Because in a dry summer, it might be your last good grass. It's thinking about this, future-proofing the business. We have to manage what we can look after, not just hold up our hands and despair.
And finally, there are many issues facing farming, we know that, and we've talked about some. There are opportunities still, though, aren't there?
Oh, yes. And this is it. And opportunities will come for people who see them, who have got the willingness to grasp them and accept the risk that comes with taking them on. There will be new crops come through, and clearly I talked a little bit about the way we've developed a wine industry in this country. $500 million has been invested in it in the last 5 years, and that's an opportunity that's moving north. But new crops come in ordinary farming. Those opportunities are there. And the ancillary industries that go with them. So, no, in change there is opportunity, but it's the innovation, it's the skills, it's the technologies, it's the management, and the commercial wit to take them forward.
Jeremy, thank you. And finally, congratulations belatedly on the Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's very appreciated. Thank you. It's a great honour.
At the conference, I chatted with MP and Yellowbelly, ex-farmer and valuer Robbie Moore, about the challenges facing farming and the view from Westminster.
Well, inevitably, we're facing yet again another incredibly wet period. Farmers are experiencing the second, or had the second wet harvest, and this growing season is not getting off to a good start. But that set aside, food security and confidence in government, the new government's thinking around food security is coming up as a worry factor to me as the shadow farming minister, that how serious is the government taking food security? We've got the budget coming up at the end of the month, and there are huge rumours that that is going to be cut by at least £100 million from the £2.4 billion.
There are an awful lot of rumours and worries about that, but from policies that have been previously announced, money doesn't seem to be actually getting where it needs to get.
And that is exactly what we're seeing right now on the ground. Earlier this year, Steve Barclay, as Secretary of State, announced £50 million that was going to be allocated through the Farm Recovery Fund to areas like Lincolnshire, to farmers that had been negatively impacted as a result of wet weather last year. And this money has not got out the door yet, despite it being announced earlier this year. And in addition to that, IDBs, internal drainage boards, we announced a £75 million pot of funds that was to be spent this financial year, but yet that money is not getting out the door at the speed in which we were hoping it to. And these were announcements that were actually made last spring, earlier this year, and yet the new Labour government only yesterday at the dispatch box said that they cannot commit to anything until the budget at the end of this month. This does not create certainty or a sense of reassurance to businesses that government is on their side, the new government is on their side.
Now, you're experienced on almost both sides of the coin, really. You've gone from an arable farmer, you've got a recycling business, you've been a surveyor, you've been a backbench MP, you've been a minister. Now you're on the other side of the benches. What can you actually do about it?
A lot. You know, my job, alongside my parliamentary colleagues on the opposition benches, is to hold the government's feet to the fire, to hold them to account. And crikey, we are doing that every single day. It's really important that we are holding them to account on the new announcements that I've just gone through on the Farm Recovery Fund, the Internal Drainage Board money, but also the £220 million that was specifically ring-fenced for productivity and innovation grants. Again, that money is not getting out of the door. So we work constructively, but will be robust, absolutely, in holding the government's feet to the fire. And when you have a Secretary of State who all he talks about is water quality, although it is absolutely important, a not rural economy, that is worrying to many of those within the farming industry.
I think many people would have gone into the election, certainly from our side of things, thinking focus from a Labour government is more likely to be on the urban economy, not the rural economy. Do you think that's true?
Well, we're absolutely seeing that. Let's be honest about that. We have a Secretary of State who represents one of the least rural constituencies in the country, in charge of food and farming and the rural economy. But yet all he talks about is water quality related issues. Again, although that's important, it's not what the farming community only want to hear. They want to hear that the Labour government is on their side, and yet we have had none of this money going out of the door that I've already talked about, and also we're not hearing anything new in terms of driving innovation tech, agri-tech, and all those exciting things that we were wanting to allocate money to that we had done. Yeah, I will work constructively as the Shadow Farming Minister with any Labour minister, but it is right that we are holding their feet to the fire so farming is at the top of their agenda.
Okay, so we know what you can do. What can we do? What can farmers do? What can those in the industry do to promote the rural economy, to get to MPs, to ministers, to further the cause?
Well, keep engaging. You know, it is really important, as many farming businesses and other businesses within the rural economy are doing, is lobby not only your MPs, but the other membership organisations that have direct relationships with MPs, whether it's the NFU, the TFA, the CLA, or others, because it's really important that MPs, who are not experts on everything, but they hear the voice of the rural economy. So my request to anyone involved in the farming industry is engage with your local Member of Parliament. Many are doing right across Lincolnshire, because I know that, because I have many a conversation with all of the MPs in Lincolnshire that are representing the rural seats. So keep that level of engagement going. That's what I'd absolutely ask of all farming businesses.
And get them on the farm?
Absolutely. But not only the MPs, get the civil servants out on farm. That's really important, because, you know, ministers come and go, but generally speaking, the civil servants will stay the same, that are working on the policies constantly. So my request would always be to DEFRA, yes, get the DEFRA ministers out, but make sure that the civil servants, who are actually the ones that are designing the policy, are out on farm as much as possible, because from my experience from being in the department, they are not as much as they should be.
Robbie, it's been good to see you up in Lincolnshire and back as a yellow belly in Westminster again. And congratulations on your re-election. Thank you for joining us on the Farming Programme this morning.
Yeah, really good to be back, and I look forward to coming back again.
Thanks all for an excellent conference at the Lincolnshire Showground last week. Let's head to those sticky fields I mentioned earlier. Crop Doctor Sean Sparling, good morning. Autumn's getting a little bit problematical now, isn't it?
Yes, morning, Steve. Yeah, a little bit tense out here, really. And the complication we've got now is that these fields sit sticky and wet. They're not drying out with the humidity levels that we've got in the 90s. Even on lovely days like Thursday, we saw very little change in things. So there's a lot of hindsight farming and head shaking going on. Interesting, though, to hear from a client the other day who drilled some wheat in some very sticky, clumpy, heavy stuff. Not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. And to be fair, I don't think we've gone in any worse drilled at the end of November, but he said that he'd still been able to smell the Avidex the day after he'd applied the granules, so he felt that clearly it must be doing some good. Unfortunately, with triolate, the triolate granule undergoes the process of sublimation, and that's where the solid goes straight to gas without passing through a liquid stage. That's why I said unfortunately, because the gas is the smell, and that gas should be in the soil. The smell is the triolate gas escaping from the soil, and that's always been the thing with Avidex granules. You need a seedbed which is capable of holding a gas. So in a sticky, lumpy, cloddy seedbed, it's like putting that gas in a string vest, and it'll do little but go upwards before it does as much good as it should. And whether it's triolate, flufenicet, sinmethylin, prosulfocarb, or any other residual pre-em, just make sure that the seed is safe against the effects of these residuals, because you need to get them deep enough at 35 to 40 mil at least, and they need to be well covered. But you know all of that. So day length shortening, day night range, and obviously the soil temperatures as well falling as a result. We've had a couple of white rime frosts over the last couple of weeks, along with a couple of warm 19, 20 degree days this week. So don't forget that you need to take care if you're spraying anything on emerged crops after their first exposure to the first frost of the season. You need to leave at least one full night clear of that first frost before you go spraying, even with something benign like manganese. So if the first frost onto the emerged crops on the Monday night, you need no frost on the Tuesday night, and you could then spray it on the Wednesday. If it was to freeze again on the Tuesday night, you need no frost on the Wednesday night, and you could then spray it on the Thursday. And once you've had that one night clear without a frost, you can then go spraying after a frost on these crops, but never onto the rime covered leaf. And as long as you stop spraying by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon preceding another forecasted frost, then you should be okay. But do check with your advisor in all those situations about what's actually in the mix and whether that's going to be safe to do so. There aren't that many fields out here that have had a frost on them, of course, because they've yet to come through in the main. So just bear all that in mind when they finally do. Manganese deficiency showing up on some of the emerged bits on the lighter land as well, and don't confuse that with herbicide uptake, which is quite widespread as well on the emerged stuff thanks to the heavy rainfall we took once again over the last few weeks. It's generally a fairly transient thing. The bleaching we see from pre-em herbicides like DFF or Clonifen, Flufenacet is because of shallow drilled seed in the main. Maybe it wasn't covered as well as it should have been in the more open seed beds, and of course we've had washdown of the actives after heavy rain, and the crop usually grows away from that quite easily. It looks a bit of a sod in some fields until the new leaves start to come out and leave that yellowing and bleaching behind. You can already see the new growth, incidentally, coming out green and unbothered in the earlier drillings. So it generally always looks a lot worse than it is. And if it's catching the crop, just think about what it's doing to the weeds. That's the best way of looking at it. If you're worried about crop damage and you're planning not to put the pre-em on early and you're going to delay it, particularly if you're on blackgrass land, then the risk of damage from herbicide uptake is way lower than the risk of not putting that herbicide on within those first 3 or 4 days after drilling and then ending up with a crop that's full of blackgrass. We have so few post-em blackgrass options these days that if you don't get your pre-em on within 3 or 4 days of drilling, that flash of UV light from the drilling is going to set off the blackgrass, and once the blackgrass roots start to move away and down the profile, you'll never get back in front of it. You'll be watching it till harvest. If you are unavoidably delayed and you don't get your pre-em on, or if the crop is emerged when you get to spray it, then do check with your advisor as to safe post-em growth stages, or just in case any of the doses need to be amended downwards. As a general rule of thumb, get your seed in 40 mil deep and well covered, get it sprayed. Go early post-em with these residuals, you're going to lose about 30% of the efficacy. And after the seed return we've seen from this last season, particularly where blackgrass and ryegrass were the issue, we cannot afford to delay that application and lose 30% of the activity. So if there's any possibility of getting your pre-em on within 3 or 4 days of drilling, you really should move heaven and earth to try and do that. Slug damage increasing again this week, so do keep your guard up. And with some less than optimum seed beds with plenty of open cloddy bits, remember slugs don't burrow in the soil like worms, they make use of the gaps we leave them. And there's always the threat, particularly on the heavier soils, for slug damage. So good year for slugs as well, of course. We've just gone through wet, cold season. And also remember that ferrous phosphate pellets are eaten and taken away. You don't see dead bodies, so plenty of bait points, and follow up the next day to see if those pellets are still there. If they're not, it'll be because the slugs are taking them. It could just be a big year for slugs. Wheat seed rates up to 275, 285 established plants or thereabouts now. If you've still got to drill winter barley or hybrid rye, you should prioritise them. The end of October is the latest really for rye, and seed rates to fit the likely conditions as well. 250 to 275 plants per square metre for rye up to the end of October, then up again to around 300 plants established per square metre if you do stray into the early part of November. Winter barley cut off the very end of this month really. The optimum time for drilling winter barley has really gone past us now. Winter barley seed rate varies, of course, depending upon whether it's conventional or hybrid. Conventional drillings now, you want to be about 325, 375, somewhere in that range, plants per square metre, or even more than that. And for hybrid, you need to be somewhere between 240 and 275 plants per metre square established target. market. Much higher winter losses in barley than in wheat, so don't forget to factor that in. Right, look, I'm off to pray for some nice weather. Strap yourselves in. I think it's going to be a sticky old bumpy ride, so let's see what the next 7 days bring.
Thanks as ever, Sean. Independent agronomist Sean Sparling back with more same time next week. The Cereal Show returns to its spiritual home in Lincolnshire next year, so along with the livestock and grain market reports and the weather, we'll get the latest from Ledenham next.
The Farming Programme with Arrowquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham. For all your steel needs, call their friendly experts.
This is the Farming Programme podcast for Sunday, October 20th, 2024. I'm Steve Orchard. The big show for arable farmers, Cereals, returns to its spiritual home in Lincolnshire in 2025. Loads of planning going on at the moment to build on the continuing success since its launch in 1979 and tweak things a little following feedback from this year's show. It's being held at Roy Ward Farms in Ledenham next year, so I popped along for an update with Andy Ward. We're up on the heathland getting ready for Cereals. I know it's a good few months away now, but just tell us what you're doing today.
We've just put in the winter wheat area within the sprayers arena, and that is sponsored by Syngenta. So we've had to put in a Syngenta variety. So we've drilled Graham and we've put it in at 220 kilograms a hectare, and it's an area inside the sprayers arena where the sprayers show the drive up and down, and all the sprayer manufacturers show what their machines are capable of doing. And what they do is they are sprayers run up and down this plot of wheat we've just put in, and it shows the boom level on us, it shows how the sprayer operates, generally everything you'll be looking at if you were buying a sprayer. And then it's spraying water and not chemicals, so there is still, it looks like there's stuff coming out the boom, which there is, showing nozzles as well, different nozzles you can get. So generally just really highlighting what sprayers are, how they operate.
And for today, sowing the seed, you're using a bit of new kit.
Yes, we are. We have bought on for the farm, we've bought a weaving saber tine drill, and that is a mounted tine drill that will enable us to actually put our crops in on our heavier land in, say, conditions that aren't ideal.
What's the difference then compared to a normal one?
Well, our normal drill, we have a Simba Free Flow, which is a fantastic drill for putting crops in on heavy ground. But because it's got a tyre packer at the back, it really needs dry ground or dryish ground to run properly. This drill has the only wheels it's got are 4-depth wheels within the frame of the drill. Everything else is very open. So it's got tines, it's not discs, it's got harrows right at the back and not rollers. So when the soil is wet, you need more clearance for the soil to go through a machine. And if you're drilling in conditions where there's a lot of trash, it might be a lot of straw from harvest time, this drill will cope with it, whereas our other drill won't. And we've got it on what they call the Farming and Equipment Technology Fund, which is a government or DEFRA grant scheme that's administered from the Rural Payments Agency. And there was up to 50% grant on a 6 metre drill.
So give us an idea of what that would cost then.
The retail price of that drill is just under 60,000, which it is a lot of money. But as direct drills go, if you were to buy a 6 metre disc direct drill, you'd be £150,000, so a lot of money. So the retail price of that is just under 60,000, and we have got back in the grant, I think it's £25,700 back, I think, so the rest is what we have to pay. So it's really good, worthwhile us applying for that and getting that. It's a big help.
Definitely. And how's plans for Cereals going generally? Nice to have it back in Lincolnshire, obviously, but it's a few months away yet, but planning already started.
Yes, it has. Planning started, really. I was first talking to them before this event, this year's event that was held down south in Hertfordshire. And we finally got the agreement and got the nod that our bid, if you like, had been accepted around about the middle of May. And so we then started to get involved in the layout of the site, because there was one or two flowing issues with the site this last year. The avenues and things didn't flow very well. So we've changed a lot of that. So I've had quite a bit of input into the design of the site, because we've had the event twice before, once in 2004 and another time in 2008. So we have a fair bit of experience with the event and we know what works and what doesn't work. So the planning's been going on a while, and then now up here we've been really busy this last few days. We've been putting all the grass areas in. So besides just supplying the site, if you like, and that is 52 hectares, so about 125-130 acres of land this with car parks and everything. So besides just supplying that, we're getting involved in establishing this grass on the car parks, on the walkways, on the service roads. So a lot of work needs doing, and we'll do most of that, apart from it's actually establishing the crop plots. Whereas Jonathan, who works up here for the Comexposium, who's the company who does the event, he puts all those crop plots in with a specialist little machine.
Another big event, isn't it? Are there any other changes compared to last time?
We've got a young farmers area here, which there hasn't been before at Cereals. And there's been a lot of, I feel, unjust negative publicity about the young farmers over the last few months, and I feel they've been targeted a bit. And I think there's a lot of mental stress and a lot of issues with agriculture, with mental health and regarding well-being. Obviously there's been a really sad case with a guy taking his own life in Louth earlier on this year, and it's really highlighted that young farmers have a tough time. And so we've got an area within the site for the young farmers, and we've actually got a Wardy's waffle bar within that young farmers area.
Is that where they can watch your videos endlessly?
Yes, that's right. And whether there's actually going to be breakfast waffles as well, because there's going to be a breakfast served on this area as well. So that's a really unique opportunity, that is, for the young farmers to congregate, not just Lincolnshire young farmers, you know, young farmers from all over the country. And I'll be there actually as well, behind the Wardy's waffle bar, serving waffles and drink and everything. So it should be quite a unique. But I will actually mention as well, Steve, I'd like to thank Duncan and Toplis, because the East Midlands Accountancy Company, who are our accountants, have sponsored the Wardy's Waffle Bar in the Young Farmers area. So thank you for Duncan and Toplis, because that is greatly appreciated.
Brilliant. Well, as I say, it's going to be a cracking show. We've got a lot more to talk about over the coming months before we get there. But Andrew, Thanks for joining us on the farming programme again. And the field's looking good.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve.
We'll bring you regular updates leading to the show in June next year. All you need to know for now is at cerealsevent.co.uk.
The Farming Programme.
Market reports.
Starting as usual with livestock from Masons and Partners at Louth Market, auctioneer Edward Middleton. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. This week, prime steers all in average 282.26 pence per kilo, and prime heifers all in average 265.11 pence per kilo. Top price in the steers in the pence per kilo went to J.E. Thirlby of Kexby at 298.5 pence per kilo. And in the pounds per head, J.C. Scully of Bournemouth at £2,171.75. In the heifers, J.C. Scully topped at 305.5 pence per kilo, or £1,863.55. Moving on to the sheep, this week we had an increase in the SQQ of about 10 pence, with an SQQ this week of 288.61 pence per kilo. A handy show of lambs again. This week a top price from R.I. Clough & Son of Holton Holgate with a half kilo Charolais Cross lambs at 140. In the pence per kilo, M.A. Smith of Mablethorpe topped at 319 or £137 for a super pen of 43 kilo Beltex side lambs. Cull ewes this week averaged £79.78. Numbers slightly back on the week, but trade very, very similar. Top spot went to Field Farming Company of Newark at £132. Feeding ewes anywhere between £40 to £80. Better bred sort of ewes around the £100 mark. Store lambs, an average of £72.65. Top price went to Jay Tacey of Louth at £102 for some Texel Cross lambs. Longer keep lambs anywhere between £50 to £90. That concludes Monday's report. We'll just have a quick recap on previous Friday. That was the pedigree dispersal on behalf of Mr. Michael Reed of Hemby. Top price of the sale was a British Brood Bull at 7,500 guineas. Pedigree cows topped at 5,500 guineas. In-calf heifers topped at 4,000 guineas. Heifer calves topped at 2,500 guineas. I'm Edward Middleton, auctioneer at Louth Livestock Market.
Thanks, Edward. And with an update on the grain markets, Open Fields' Alice Killam. Morning, Alice.
Good morning, Steve. After the poor start of the week, we've seen sideways travel for the second half. Thursday saw a stronger pound, which didn't help our cause, as we saw a drop in the UK and again in the French. The market is in limbo. Essentially, nothing has really changed, but the fund managers, who have reduced their net short significantly, need something bullish to encourage them to keep going. And this has not happened. Indeed, it's probably fair to say they've got nervous and have started to short again. Global numbers from both North and South America are forecasted to be big, And although there are obvious concerns to the east of us in much of the EU and now in Russia and the Black Sea also, we're just off the top from the recent highs, waiting for some fresh news. Of note, CONAB, Brazilian's agricultural ministry, released their latest numbers for both corn and soybeans. Brazil is the second largest exporter in the world and will compete with the US market, so it's interesting to make note of what they're up to. Year-on-year forecasts for corn are up 3% and 9% over a five-year average at nearly 120 million tonnes. An even more bearish argument for soybeans, a record of all records at just over 166 million tonnes. We know that we're importers of wheat and our market will be priced against the cheapest alternative to our own. Some further numbers were released by DEFRA, which now creates a slightly clearer picture for the whole of the UK. Nothing that we shouldn't already know, but just confirmation of what we need to A, export and B, import for the remainder of the season. And speaking of these imports, the latest numbers for August were released at the beginning of the week. Further imported maize, 232,000 tonnes for the month and a healthy 110,000 tonnes ahead of the year-to-year numbers, confirms that maize is heading into the north of England to supply one of the ethanol plants in its entirety. Most domestic mills, I would assume, will be using maize too. And wheat has seen an increase of 350,000 tonnes year-on-year so far. 600,000 tonnes has come in during the first 2 months of their campaign, a big increase in early purchased German milling wheat being the most obvious. There are questions regarding the pace of exports in Russia and the Black Sea, and the expectation that these will need to slow down at some point, perhaps increasing the possibility for some slightly better numbers for us if the cheapest produce in the world becomes less cheap. Perhaps, though, there is a question regarding the speed of our imported numbers also here. The milling wheat premiums have certainly dropped from the top, and you can see why if you consider the tonnage which has been purchased. But does this continue into the new year? And at the same pace? I would hope that we see another opportunity. For the moment, we are all trying our hardest to get some of next year's crop into the ground. Looking at some other forecasts around Europe, 600 millimetres in 48 hours in parts of south central France. Some are suffering worse than us. Let's hope we can get enough dry days to keep going. Some guide prices for this week, circa Friday morning. Feed wheat, October 180 to 190, January 190 to 200, and May 195 to 205. Feed barley, October 150 to 160, February 155 to 165, and May 160 to 170. All seed rape, November 400 to 405, and May 410 to 415. As usual, please call for firm values.
Thanks, Alice.
The Farming Programme. 5 day forecast.
Windy to start the week from the south, gusting up to 40 miles an hour today. But as the pressure rises, things calm from Monday. Very little rain this week, quite mild too, with daytime highs in the low to mid-teens Celsius. So we might actually see the soil starting to dry, and no real sign of frost this week either. Next week, we'll look ahead to the Farm Business Innovation Show. Worth a listen if you're thinking of diversifying. Plus, a look at succession planning and, of course, all the week in agriculture. Sunday morning from 7 at Hits Radio Lincolnshire or anytime on Smart Speaker or just search Farming on the new Rayo app. I'm Steve Orchard. Until then, have a great week.
The Farming Programme with Araquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham. BSI ISO 9001 accredited.